Judy, it looks like your camera is facing a different way.
My camera is facing a different way?
Yep. All I see is like...
Oh, I see your face.
Really?
Yeah, like straight on.
Yep. Looks good here too.
John, I think you're looking at a different attendee.
No. When I look at Chloe, she's in a small box in... And when I look at Mindy, she's in a small box as well. Should I just reboot? This is Judy. It looks like your camera is facing a different way.
My camera is facing a different way?
Yep. All I see is like.
Oh, I see your face.
Really?
Yeah, like straight on.
Yep. Looks good here too.
John, I think you're looking at a different attendee.
No, when I look at Chloe, she's in a small box and when I look at Mindy, she's in a small box as well. Should I just reboot? This is very strange.
That's really strange. I'm going to turn my camera off and see if it changes.
Is she frozen on your screen?
There she is.
Okay.
So Kelly and Mindy are still in a small box in the larger box.
Did mine expand when I shut it off?
You're good, Judy.
Okay. All right, Kelly, try shutting your camera down for a second.
Hey, nobody puts me in a box. Let me get out of there.
Now you're good. I don't get it.
Am I better?
Yep, you're great.
Yes. Okay. I think it was a John issue. We're just complying.
It's a computer. It's not a John issue.
There you go. All right. Your computer. My apologies. Not user.
I totally understand user error in the internet, so don't worry about it.
Well, we are recording, and it is 10:04.
Is Miss Campbell with us quite yet?
Not that I am aware of just yet. Let's go ahead and do a roll call.
Okay.
Dr. King.
Here.
Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Dr. Hike.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton.
Here.
Ms. Cardoza left the meeting at 9:16. Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Richardson.
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepius.
Okay.
Dr. King, the meeting's yours.
All right. Well, we are at the place where we have a...
There she is. One moment. Okay.
Administrative hearing, and now we have Elizabeth Bull with us. Great. All right. I just wanted to make sure, is Alejandro Iniguez on the call? Is Mr. Iniguez on the call?
I do not see him, Kelly.
And I believe he's represented. Is that right? Is his counsel on the call?
Neither responded to their meeting invitation.
Mr. Harris, do we just proceed as though they're not here, or would you suggest that we wait?
We have to ask Ms. Campbell, please.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Campbell.
Oh, I apologize. I'm assuming that they were properly noticed for today's meeting. If they are not here, the board is free to proceed in their absence.
Great, thank you. All right. So we will start then. This is the date, time, and place where the matter dealing with Alejandro Iniguez, PTA, case number 2120, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. At this time, we will do a roll call. Board members, please introduce yourself when Judy calls you and state your position for the board. And then Ms. Counsel, legal counsel for the board, please introduce yourself as well. Judy?
Dr. King.
Present.
Introduce yourself, please.
Oh, Kelly King, professional member, board president.
Dr. Bustillo.
Karen Bustillo, professional member, board vice president.
Mr. Leone.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, secretary.
Dr. Hike.
John Hike, professional member.
Mr. Greer.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Mr. Barton.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Thank you. Let the record, and then Ms. Campbell.
Ms. Campbell.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth Campbell from the Attorney General's Office, providing independent advice for the board today.
Thank you so much. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing, the respondent's answer, and all pleadings of record.
At this time, I will deliver the exhibits to the board's consolidated drive.
Okay. And how many exhibits are there, Judy?
I believe there are 7. Bear with me one moment, please.
Okay.
Yeah. There's 8 identified, 7 actual exhibits. And they are bait stamped.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
All members should now see it in the consolidated drive, itemized as agenda item 6A.
Let me restart mine. Does everyone have those? I actually don't see them in mine. Do you see them?
I'm not seeing them yet.
I'm not seeing them either.
Okay.
Okay, let me see where I put them. I put them somewhere else. Let's try it again. Okay, you don't see them in the consolidated drive?
In the PT board member consolidated meeting drive?
6A formal hearings, 2120 anyways. I'm showing it in there.
It might just be uploading.
Okay, mine go from 5C to 7A.
It might have dropped it in the bottom or the top. It might not have dropped it in order.
Yeah, I'm looking, waiting.
Yeah, I'm still seeing nothing.
Let's try it again. Very strange.
Yeah, I've gone out and come back in a couple times and refreshed, and I'm not seeing them, Judy.
Okay, let me try one different pathway. Bear with me.
Okay. Thank you.
apologize for the delay. I'm working on it.
I have them now, 6A.
Are they in there now?
Mm-hmm.
They're now appearing, yeah.
Okay, they must have just been uploading. My apologies.
No problem. Okay, so back to the hearing. The parties, please identify themselves. First, the state, and then the respondent.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Mark Harris on behalf of the state.
Thank you. And again, I'll ask, is Mr. Manigas present? Okay. Would counsel for the state verify that the respondent was properly served?
Madam Chair, members of the board, he was.
And has the respondent responded to the complaint?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank you. Is the state ready to proceed?
It is. Thank you.
Thank you. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary hearing, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. After it hears the evidence, all of the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. Judy, please swear in the witnesses.
That would be Ms. Richardson. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? You're muted.
I do.
Thank you. Would the state like to make an opening statement?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I would. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, in the summer of 21, Mr. Inegues was terminated from his position where he was providing physical therapy assistance services. He was terminated by his employer after they learned from law enforcement that he was arrested for inappropriate sexual conduct with a minor female. This minor female had been a patient at the clinic in which Mr. Inegues was working. There was an initial investigation by board staff. That initial investigation consisted of obtaining the minor female's patient records, as well as all available criminal records that existed at the time. This matter went to the board for your initial review at your meeting in September of 21. Partially at the request of Mr. Inegues, the board entered into an interim consent agreement whereby Mr. Inegues agreed not to practice as a PTA until the criminal matter had been resolved. Since entering into the ISA, there were some periodic contact between board staff and Mr. Inegues. Primarily, that was initiated by board staff just to kind of check in, see if there were any developments in the criminal matter, and to ensure that he wasn't practicing as a PTA. Initially, there was communication from Mr. Inegues, confirming all of the above, and we continued just to monitor the situation. Let me back up. Also, during this time, Mr. Inegues failed to renew his certificate. I think initially he thought that his certificate would just expire and that this matter would just go away and the board would lose jurisdiction. However, that's not the case. There's an independent statute that governs all health professionals that if they were notified of a complaint of unprofessional conduct filed against them prior to the expiration of their license or certificate, rather than that certificate or license being deemed expired, it goes on suspended status until the regulatory board takes final action with respect to that complaint. So in addition to him, you know, having entered into an ICA whereby he agreed not to practice independently by operation of law, his certificate is also suspended. After I'd say about a year, board staff stopped hearing from Mr. Iniguez entirely. And, you know, given all of the above, board staff decided to bring this before you at your May 23 meeting. At that meeting, you heard an updated report regarding the status of Mr. Iniguez's criminal matter, the fact that he did not renew his certificate, and also the fact that the board hadn't heard from him, and it would have been a year since that board meeting that they last heard from him. So you ended up adding an additional allegation of unprofessional conduct related to his failure to comply with a board investigation to this matter and remanded the entire thing to formal hearing. As a result of your May action, a complaint and notice of hearing was issued. That hearing was set for today. Mr. Iniguez was properly noticed. As mentioned earlier, neither I or I believe board staff has heard from Mr. Iniguez. During the state's presentation of the case, I'm going to go over everything with the board's investigator, Ms. Richardson. And then at the conclusion of the state's case, I will ask the board to consider adopting the factual allegations set forth in the complaint as your findings of fact and the allegations of unprofessional conduct as your conclusions of law, and then ask that you consider issuing an order revoking Mr. Iniguez's certificate. Thank you.
Thank you. Let the record show that Mr. Iniguez nor his counsel are here. So, Mr. Harris, I think you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The state would like to call Mindy Richardson. And Mindy, you've already been sworn in. Just to confirm, board members, as I ask Ms. Richardson questions, we will be referring to the state's exhibits. I just want to make sure that everybody has received them and will be able to follow along.
Yes. Did everyone receive the exhibits?
Yes.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Mindy, can you state your full name for the record?
Melinda Richardson.
And is it okay if I call you Mindy?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mindy, can you tell us what you do for the board?
I'm the board's investigator. I'm a physical therapist, and my duties are to review the complaints as they come through. I investigate cases, I prepare investigative reports, and I present those reports to the board.
Is it fair to say you're familiar with the laws that apply to the practice of physical therapy assistants?
Yes, it is.
And Mindy, can you, did the board receive a complaint against Mr. Iniguez?
Yes, it was received in July of 2021.
And can you just briefly summarize the nature of the allegations contained in that complaint?
The complaint was filed by the employer. She was a physical therapist who owned the practice, but also was Mr. Iniguez's supervisor. She stated that she had become aware that he was arrested for engaging in an inappropriate sexual relationship with a 16-year-old minor female who had been a patient at the clinic. The investigation findings also alleged Mr. Iniguez engaged in substandard care and violated ethical conduct for physical therapist assistants.
Thanks, Mindy. Is a copy of the complaint that you received from the employer, did you include that in the report that you prepared?
Yes, I did.
And is Exhibit 1 a copy of that report?
Yes, it is.
And specifically, can the employer's complaint be found at bait stamp numbers page 16 through 18?
That's correct.
And Minnie, just to clarify, Mr. Iniguez is a certified PTA.
Correct.
And can you tell us what the status of his certificate is?
His current status is suspended, and it's based on two outcomes, which I believe you alluded to, Mr. Harris. He was first issued an interim consent agreement to refrain from practice, and he then subsequently chose not to renew his certificate on the 2022-2024 cycle. And as you referenced, by operation of law 32-3202, his certificate was suspended until the board took final action on the matter.
Thanks, Mindy. And were you the investigator on behalf of the board in this case?
I was.
And what are some of the things you initially did upon receiving the complaint?
I obtained the patient's medical record. I completed interviews of the patient's father and of the physical therapist that filed the complaint. And I also pursued obtaining any reports that were available through the law enforcement agency that had arrested Mr. Niguez.
Thanks, Mindy. With respect to the patient records, did you include them in your initial investigative report?
Yes, they were included.
And can the board find the entire set of patient records at bait stamp pages 19 through 150?
That's correct.
And did you have an opportunity to review them?
The medical records for the
patient?
Yes, I did.
And according to these records, how old was the patient when she started treatment?
She was 16 at the time that she initiated treatment.
And how old was she at the time of discharge?
She was 17 at the time of her discharge.
Could you tell from her records whether Mr. Iniguez treated her during this time period?
Yes, he had authenticated some of the records at least on at least 12 occasions.
Mm-hmm. Did the medical records demonstrate that he deviated from the standard of practice in any way?
Yes, the records reveal that he had created and modified the patient's aquatic pool therapy program without the active involvement of the supervising physical therapist. And this was based on medical record reviews and interviews of his supervisors and coworker.
And this would be a violation of the Practice Act?
Yes, that's correct.
As part of the board's initial investigation, did you also obtain, and I think you mentioned it, law enforcement documents related to his arrest?
Yes, I obtained those from the Gilbert Police Department.
And did you include those in your report?
Those were included.
And are they reflected at pages 151 through 192?
That's correct.
Due to the pending criminal matter, did Mr. Iniguez request that the board, in essence, you know, just stay the investigation?
They did make that request. He did make that request.
And Mindy, after you gathered all this initial documentation from law enforcement, from the practice, the clinical practice, as well as interview a number of people, did you prepare an investigative report?
Yes, I did.
And again, that's Exhibit 1.
Correct.
And did you present your report to the board at its September of 2021 meeting?
Yes, I did.
And were you at that meeting?
Yes, I was.
Was Mr. Iniguez or his attorney?
His attorney was present.
And at that meeting, do you recall them asking the board to, in essence, you know, stay the investigation pending the criminal matter?
Yes, that's correct.
And do you recall what action, if any, the board took at that meeting?
Yes, the board issued an interim consent agreement to suspend Mr. Iniguez from practicing physical therapist assistant and suspend the investigation through the criminal proceedings.
And is Exhibit 2 a copy of the minutes of that board meeting?
Yes, it is.
And is it consistent with your testimony?
Yes, it is.
And is Exhibit 3 a true and correct copy of the ICA that you referenced?
That's correct, yes.
Mindy, since entering the ICA, Have you or the board staff attempted to make contact with Mr. Inegues regarding the status of the criminal matter and what he's up to?
Yes, that's correct.
And can you tell us what efforts you made and whether you were successful?
Through his attorney, we made attempts via email to determine the status of his criminal case and Mr. Inegues' employment status. I would say over the year 2022, we had some response from his attorney early part of 2022, I guess late 21 and in early 2022, and then we stopped hearing from them despite reaching out again to try and find out what the status was of the criminal case and his employment status.
And are all those email communications back and forth reflected in State Exhibit 4?
Yes, those were included.
And Mindy, the last email was dated May 19th of 2022. Was that the last communication that the board staff had with Mr. Inegues or his attorney?
I believe that's correct.
Previously, you mentioned that he didn't renew his certificate. Again, can you just repeat when was he required to, and what are the consequences for him not having done so?
He was required to renew August 31st of 2022, and that would cover the 2022-2024 period. Once that September 1st of 2022 passed, those, as with any license and certificate, that goes to administratively suspended status.
And in this case, it's also suspended because he's the subject of a pending complaint.
That's correct.
And Mindy, fast forward a year since the last time board staff heard from Mr. Inegues. Did this matter come back before the board at its May meeting of this year?
Yes, it did.
Were you present?
I was present.
Was Mr. Inegues?
No, they were not.
Do you know if he was notified of the meeting?
Yes, he was notified.
At that meeting, did you provide the board with an update?
I did provide the board with an update.
And is Exhibit 6 a copy of the memo that you prepared?
That's correct.
Yep. And for the most part, is it consistent with your testimony this morning?
Yes.
And after reviewing the matter, do you recall what the board did at its May meeting?
They voted to move it to a formal hearing.
Did they also add an allegation of unprofessional conduct? Relating to his failure to comply with the board investigation?
Yes, they did.
And as a result of their action, was a complaint notice of hearing issued?
Yes, it was.
And is Exhibit 7 a true and correct copy of the complaint notice of hearing that was issued in this manner?
Yes, it was.
And Mindy, was it sent to his address record?
That's correct.
And to the best of your knowledge, has Mr. Inegues responded to the complaint?
No. To my knowledge, we've not received a response.
And according to the most recent court records you reviewed and provided to the board, what is the status of his criminal matter?
His criminal matter is still pending. The outcome is still pending.
And Mindy, is there anything else that you would like to mention about this case that we haven't discussed or I haven't asked you?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, I have no further questions for Ms. Richardson. At the appropriate time, Madam Chair, I would like to move into evidence, State's Exhibits 1 through 7, with the caveat that State's Exhibits Bait Stamp Number 19 through 150, which are the patient's medical records, be received under seal as they contain confidential information.
Okay. Thank you. Those exhibits will be entered as stated. We don't need a motion for that, do we? Ms. Campbell?
No, Madam Chair, just your statement on the record is sufficient.
Okay, so let it be known that statement exhibits 1 through 7 are admitted. However, exhibits time dated 19 through 150, medical records received under seal, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. With the admission of the state's exhibits, I have no further witnesses or evidence to present.
Thank you. Would you like to make a closing statement then, Mr. Harris?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. I won't repeat my opening statement, but I'd ask that you just turn that opening statement into my closing argument. Clearly we have a situation here where the board's options are pretty limited. It has a complaint. It has a PTA who no longer desires to be certified. And without his cooperation, the only way to take final action is through the formal administrative hearing process. That's what we're here to do this morning. And as I mentioned in my opening, if I could ask everybody to take a look at State's Exhibit 7 and ask that you consider adopting the factual allegations that were set forth in the complaint as your findings of fact, the allegations of unprofessional conduct as your conclusions of law, and after having done so, if you could consider issuing an order revoking his certification. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or enter motions.
So I guess I will start us off. I really only have one concern, and that's regarding the notice. It sounded like the state sent notice to his place of residence. Do we know if he's there or incarcerated? That's my only concern, really, in this case. I guess, Ms. Campbell, my question for you is, does it matter?
Yeah.
And if Mr. Harris has information specific to the board statutes, the board is required only to provide notice to respondents' address of record with the board. According to the testimony, that was the place to which notice of the complaint and notice of hearing was sent. In addition, I would note that pursuant to the mailing certificate, notice was of this hearing was also sent to respondents' counsel of record in these proceedings. As such, notice was sufficient in this matter.
Okay. Yeah. And I agree with everything that Ms. Campbell just said. But in addition, Mr. Barton, it's my understanding that Mr. Niguez is not incarcerated during this time. He's not in jail.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. If there's no other discussion, then I would move that we accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law as proposed by Mr. Harris and issue an order revoking the license.
So let's take the motion one at a time and do the your motion, if that's okay with you, Mr. Barton, if you would mind amending just your motion to
accept the finding of facts and conclusions of law.
Yeah, the allegations of findings of fact and stand as the conclusions of law for all of the allegations set forth in the investigative report and in the notice of hearing that went out to him for this hearing that we had added an allegation regarding ARS 32204418.
C So, and just to clarify just a little bit, so Dr. King, and Mr. Barton, I would suggest a motion, if the board is so inclined, to accept the factual allegations and the allegation as the board's findings, the factual allegations as set forth in the board's complaint and notice of hearing as the factual findings, as well as the allegations of unprofessional conduct as set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing as the board's findings of violation in this matter.
Okay. So I will amend my motion to do what our attorney suggests that we do, and we'll move that we accept the findings of facts as suggested by Mr. Harris in this case.
Second. Any discussion? So there's a motion to accept the factual allegations as findings of facts as set forth in the notice of hearing. Judy, you want to call the vote?
Yes, it's been moved and seconded that the board accepts the factual allegations outlined in the complaint and notice of hearing as the findings of fact, as well as the allegations of unprofessional conduct as listed as the conclusions of law in this case against Alejandro Iniguez. Is that accurate, Ms. Campbell?
I think we'll do a second vote on conclusions of law. Would that be right? Yeah. So this is just the findings of facts. A motion to accept the findings, the factual allegations as findings of facts. And I seconded the amendment.
Right. Then let me restate that, please. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the board accept the factual allegations as outlined in the complaint and notice of hearing, and the board adopts these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
Right.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
I would move that the board finds the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint and adopt the alleged violations as conclusions of law.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Judy, can you call the vote, please?
It's moved and seconded that the board finds the finding of fact constitutes a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint and adopt the allegations, the alleged violations as conclusions of law. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
I make a motion that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of evidence that factual allegations of the complaint, and I move the board adopts these allegations and revocation of the certificate, please.
So, Dr. King, at this point, you've already adopted the.
Thank you.
You're just on the order. So, thanks. Based upon the board's findings of fact and conclusions of law, the board needs to make a determination of what discipline is appropriate in this case.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I move that we revocate the license, the certificate of Mr. Iniguez.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Judy, can you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to issue an order of revocation for Mr. Iniguez's physical therapist assistant certificate. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be